Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Off Speed Podcast, the podcast where we slow down and take a look at different sports from around the world and different sports stories. My name is Grace, and I am excited to be with you today. We have an exciting episode today, folks. We will be joined by Peter Guss, who is a avid fan of Australian rules football, and podcaster, lifelong fan. I'm excited to dive into the world of Australian rules football, or footy, I think, as they call it. I have some experience playing Australian rules football, which we'll get into in the podcast, but we'll save that for later. But for those who are like kind of aware of the sport or have never heard of this sport, today should be a fun deep dive into Australian rules football. There are lots of really great YouTube videos you could check out to sort of explain the rules, the basics. We go into it a little bit, but we dive a little bit deeper than the basic rules of the sport with Peter. And I thought it was really a great insight into the sport, why it's popular in Australia. Obviously it has Australia in the name of the sport, but why that particular sport has taken off down under, as they say. And in the back half of the show, our new segment, Game On, Lavina Patel will be back rejoining the podcast to chat all things NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Lavina has prepared a list of five storylines heading into the playoffs. I believe we'll have a bonus story as well, and I'm going to do my best to try and guess what these stories are as the Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. As we recorded, the first two games of the playoffs were mid-game, so a good time to start chatting about the playoffs, so that we'll be slightly out of date by the time this podcast is in your ears. Very excited. I believe we'll have our own podcast feed fairly soon, in which if you subscribe to that podcast feed, you'll get the episode a day earlier than everybody else when it drops in the main feed. So you get that exclusive access to the Off Speed Podcast. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another episode. Very excited about. But please, if you have suggestions for sports that you would like to be covered on this podcast, specifically ones that are sort of out of the mainstream of sort of the major North American sports, that we will talk about those at times. But I'm really excited to chat about different sports around the world and even some in North America that maybe don't get as much attention as your basketball, your baseball, hockey, football. Let me know. Let me know, message me on Twitter. My DMs, I believe, are open. You can send me a direct message. So let me know what you want to hear from, what you want to hear about, who you want to hear from, all of that sort of stuff. So, we're going to get into the interview with Peter, and then in the back half of the show, we'll hear from Lavina, and I'll see you at the end of the show.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome back. I am joined by my guest at this time, our Australian rules football's expert, Peter. Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Very excited to be here with you today. Hopefully this goes better than my last podcast on RHAP, where I was eliminated halfway through. So
is this a Renap episode?
Yeah, it was. I haven't forgotten that I was incorrectly eliminated from the game show. So, yeah,
we hold a grudge. I see. That's good. I like it. Competitive. I guess that makes sense if you're a sports fan. Competitive.
It was a devastating loss. I'm hoping to come back and have retribution one day. So, yeah.
Yeah, I believe you folks played Pointless, if I'm not.
Is that right. Is that right? Yeah,
I love the show Pointless. British show. Yeah,
I enjoyed it. And yeah, I'm still salty about being eliminated with a correct Pointless answer.
Yeah, that's right. So you're here to talk about Australian rules football.
And pointless.
Typically something I like to do when I have a new guest, and I'll give a big apologies to Sarah and Mari, who were on the show a few weeks ago. And right after we ended, they said, you didn't ask the thing you normally ask, which is, I want your sports history. I want when'd you get into sports? And I think this will transition nicely into what you're here to talk about today, Peter. But give me your sports background. What did you watch as a kid? Who are your teams? Who are your players? Most of which probably our audience won't know, but they'll by the end of the podcast. Then when they re-listen for the second time, they'll be like, oh, now I get all the references.
That's pretty funny. I have been following the Australian Football League, AFL, for my entire life. There's photos of me as like a 3-4-year-old, just like fully decked out in team colors. My entire family is, large supporters, extended family, basically the way it works here. Pretty much everyone follows it from a very young age. And I'm a huge Collingwood supporter and have been my whole life. So basically, my history with football has been just, from the beginning until now. And that's kind of, grown. My passion's grown throughout the last couple of years. I started my own, podcast, a fantasy football podcast, for AFL, it's called Super Coach, which is like the fantasy football of the game. And started that with some mates, and we've had, a podcast 5-6 years, Dr. Super Coach. And basically from there, the opportunities have come up where I've been writing about, Super Coach in the local, well, not local, the national, I guess, and state newspapers, presented on Fox Sport News for 2 minutes live every week about, the best buys and sells of the week. Basically just been building on this audience and growing and enjoying my football.
I feel like I can't believe that, I was looking for somebody to do Australian rules football. So I messaged Shannon, well, I think I do know somebody who can talk about it. And I feel like it shouldn't surprise me that, Shannon, it might be, the biggest Survivor fan I know. It feels like if you have a hobby, super into it, would make sense that your hobby, you'd be like, yeah, I podcast about it. instead of
we're all or nothing in this family.
That makes total sense. I think that's fantastic. So yeah, I'm excited. I have not told this story. I told you, do you have any experience with Australian rules football? And very randomly, when I worked at summer camp, this is probably nearly 10 years ago now, Canadian summer camp, there was this group of people. I think they were called Aussie X. I believe that was the name of the company. And they would go around to schools and summer camps in the summer and other, you know, youth groups and teach people how to play Australian rules football. So like just randomly, I've learned how to play. I've played a very like, you know, you'd probably be embarrassed by what the game looked like. If it was like ever taped, please. I don't think we need to release the tape. If it was ever recorded. Some shoddy game on like a crummy field, summer camp field. But I did learn the rules and play. I tried to watch some YouTube videos to get a handle on it again. But you're really going to be our expert. I feel like, you know, we don't have to go too deep, but can you just like just explain Australian rules football for our listening audience?
Yeah, for sure. But firstly, it's incredible that you learned how to play the game. That blew my mind when you told me that. I didn't think that was being taught, you know, anywhere really around the world. So
Northern Ontario summer camps, apparently. All these children are like, have learned how to play Australian rules football.
But like, why? It makes no sense.
Well, I think because the game is unique and it's I think the marketing brand of having like all these Australian, there's like these big Australian guys would come to your camp and like teach you how to play, right? It was like kind of this like cool thing. So, they were onto something, I think. Yeah.
So the gist of the game is that it's played on a large oval. I think so. It's approximately, for the American audience, I did try and use a conversion table before the podcast, but I think it's 200 yards by nearly 150 yards.
Oval. This is you learned it before the pod. I'm so sorry for calling you American. I'm Canadian, so if we want to use, you know, we can use
meters. Right. It's like 170 meters by 130 meters as well. Yeah. So basically, it's on a really large oval. There's 22 players a side. There's 18 on the field at one time where for each team. So there's a lot of players on the field and you don't have like, it's not like all running in the same position. You are spread out on the field. So the game plays where it starts in the middle. The aim is to kick the ball through the big sticks, the sticks at either ends. There's like a goal, and a behind. Goals are worth 6 points and behind's worth 1 point. And I think the unique part of the game is that it's a 360-degree game. So you have, when you've got the ball, kind of like soccer, you can pass it backwards, sideways, and there's no, I guess, restrictions on things that you can do outside of a couple of dangerous things like hitting somebody in the head or below the knees is a new rule that's come in the last couple of years just because of the number of knee injuries. But essentially you tackle and bump and knock over players from behind, from forwards, from any direction, which is, I think, pretty unique.
Very unique. They were like, very much, I think they pretty much showed a video that was like, we're going to show you like a spectacular marking or a mark.
Mark's like catching the ball.
Yeah. But that you can just like use, you can just like jump off of your opponent, basically. Seemed to be the thing that there was like their big selling point for like, you're going to love this game and we're going to teach you how to do this. They like had like pads and people like tried to like push off of it. I very clearly remember that. But it feels like one of the more unique things about
you can jump off people's shoulders, as in like run up and put, you know, the knees, your knees go on their shoulders and you get kind of like a boost because they're jumping anyway to try and catch the ball. So you get like a double boost and you jump up and take the ball, basically. So there's a lot of, you know, big marks, as we call it, big catches,
Cool. Yeah.
It's a pretty brutal sport. I'm not going to lie to the audience here. It's, there's many injuries. I think most of us grew up playing it and our mothers are really worried, about getting injured. So it's just that people drop off playing as they get older and older because it gets more and more physical. And it's obviously super popular. I played it till I was 14 and broke my wrist pretty badly. And my mum was like, no, you're not playing ever again. I'm like, oh, okay.
I'll just talk about it.
Yeah, that's basically how it went.
Yeah. The audience and myself be most familiar with sort of like these American sports. I'm thinking like, I make this joke a lot that's like, it's so sad. And they're like, yep, he's 36 and he's an old grizzled veteran. You know, but like, is there a typical like age range in Australian rules football? You talk about like the wear and tear it can have on your body. What's like a typical person perhaps retiring at?
So it depends on what position they play. I think most of the players are drafted at 18 years old because that's when the draft is, when they finish school basically. And then they will play until their early 30s. I think like 30, 31, 32 is typically the retirement age. But a lot of people's bodies really slow down in their late 20s. And a lot of the time, unless you're very good, you'll be delisted and cut from your team in the late 20s anyway. So there's some positions that you can play to like 34, 35. Some of the less, I guess, the ones where you run a lot less. I should say in a game, the midfielders, which are the largest portion of the team, will run about 15 kilometers or just over, around 10 miles a game. So it's in context of running, there's four 30-minute quarters. So it's a lot of running.
It's a lot of running. Yeah.
It's a wear and tear on your body when you're playing once a week and you're getting hit in every direction and you're doing all these running as well. It can be bad on the body.
The thing that surprised me as well, and I don't remember this from when I was, because they just let however many campers we had play, 18 people on the, for one team at a time. Is that right?
That's right.
That is so many people. I feel like that is probably, it has to be larger than any American sport. That has to be the most people on a field at a time, I imagine.
Well, 36, in total is a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it opens up different plays as well, because then there's a lot more tactics, there's different tactics throughout the years have been things like flooding the back line where, you want to play really defensive. So you put, almost half your team down into your back line so that the other team can't score, to other things called like the Pagans paddock, which has been you only having basically one forward and hoping to get like a 1v1 forward matchup. If you trust your forward. So you can go wide, you can go down the middle. It opens up a full range of strategy with that many people.
It's so many people. I guess the field is huge, as you mentioned before. I guess one less like sort of rulesy question, I don't know if rulesy question, but like, what's the typical scoreline of an Australian rules football game? Like I'm familiar with, a baseball, I might see like, 7-4 or like, football, we're looking like American football, 24-21. What would the line score of like a, I guess not, but typical game.
Yeah, typical game. No. It's usually in around the 80s each. So teams will kick like 12 goals and, 12 behinds, roughly, something like that. So you get scores in the 80s. I mean, last night there was a game on that was 165-56. So that was complete smashing and very high scoring. And
yes,
it varies because the games are played all around Australia as well. There's, Australia is quite large and there's different climates, I guess, throughout Australia. So sometimes when you're playing in a colder climate, it's more prone to rain. It will be lower scoring because of the rain, and others where it's just beautiful weather all the time, it's typically high scoring. So it can vary a lot.
Interesting. We've talked about like the rules of the game, you're trying to get the ball up and trying to kick it through these posts, ideally scoring 6 points so that you can score 1 point. But like, we talked about marking a bit, but like, what is it about the sport that like particularly like you are drawn to, that that you played for a long time and I keep watching it. Like, what is it about the game that is so exciting? And maybe in particular, like, it is called Australian rules football. So I think there's one obvious reason why is it popular in Australia, but like, why is it Australia? Why is it so big compared to like other sports that could have, risen up? Yeah.
I think there's a few reasons for that. In terms of the actual gameplay, I think it's very fast paced. There's not really, I mean, the game does stop when there's basically, someone's holding the ball and they get tackled and they can't remove the ball. So then the ball gets thrown up in the air and the two ruckmen, which are the tallest people in the team, kind of try and, hit it out, kind of like a tip off in the NBA. So there are some stoppages, but it doesn't really Like the game is very fast paced. It's just constantly running. The ball's pinging around back and forth. And then you get rewarded by, you know, high scoring, I guess, when you kick goals. It's not like soccer where typically you get 2 or 3 goals a game. I guess obviously then it's more valuable, but because there's something happening all the time, but it's not like the NBA where, you know, the scores can be in the hundreds, where there's just like basket after basket. So I think it's a good balance between how fast the gameplay is and scoring opportunities and this and the scores that do happen, which makes it very appealing, as well as the, you know, just the brutality and physicality of the sport is very appealing to watch on the eye. That's a big one. But in terms of where I live in, well, now I live in Sydney, but where I grew up in Melbourne, there's, you know, that's in Victoria, which is the bottom right of Australia. There's a massive football culture there. So that's in the context of the game, there's 18 teams and 10 of them are in Victoria and the rest of the eight are spread around Australia. So it originated as, you know, the Victorian Football League, I guess, and that was just condensed purely to Victoria. And because of that and the 10 teams there, it's a culture. It's not just a sport. So you'll be walking down the street and it's not uncommon. You know, people are wearing their team jerseys. It's something that you use as a bonding mechanism when you go to school. It's, you know, I've made friends, you know, with the Collingwood supporters when I first was in, you know, my grade zero. So you kind of grow up, you choose your team, you know, you find those bonding and those commonalities with your workplace. I mean, I got hired in my first job just because I went for Collingwood and the people recruiting me were Collingwood supporters. So
amazing. Yeah.
It's more than just the sport. It's really engulfs, you know, we have public holidays based on the grand final of the game. So we get the day off before the grand final gets played just to celebrate the grand final. Even if your team's not in it, just another. So it really, you know, covers the whole range of, you know, good sport, the culture's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just like everyone else is doing it. It's genuinely fun, but most of the time everyone else is also into it. It's just enormous in our state. I haven't really seen anything else like that. I guess maybe if you're really passionate about, you know, college football or basketball teams, there might be some sort of similarity, but it feels like it's kind of larger scale than that.
Yeah, I think I don't know if this is out of date, but I believe it's the fourth most popular like domestic sport, for like national domestic sport. So in terms of any nation having like, you know, attendance numbers for a sport, Australian football is the fourth in the world. I imagine there's a bunch of like soccer and stuff like that probably is like topping the charts. I didn't see what else was up there, but yeah, it's extremely
popular.
There's
not that many people in Australia. Yeah. So for that to happen is insane. We've got a stadium here, the MCG, Melbourne Cricket Ground, that holds just over 100,000 people, that sells out for every grand final. There's many matches that are held there. It's Collingwood's home ground, for example, that regularly get between 60 and 80,000. Last week, there was a game with 84,000 people watching. Oh. So it's big supporters, you know, big grounds. A lot of people come and watch every week. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. It's really like 26-ish million people. Canada, yeah. 38, you know. I think like, you know, I'm sitting like being like, what is it about Australian rules football? You know, it makes sense. I think sports can be so ingrained into our culture, you know, and that's like historically so too, you know, like sport is a thing that like people can watch and be entertained by, and it becomes ingrained in our culture. Makes sense that, you know, a sport that would be popular, you know, in the same way that I feel like in Canada, like, you know, hockey is so there's so much national pride associated with hockey. It doesn't sound like there's maybe the exact same culture in terms of like Australian rules football as there is in Canada, but it, you know, it does feel like, you know, I was talking 2 weeks ago that like the 2002 Olympics, the big moment for that was like Canada won both the hockey gold medals. Like it is definitely a thing that like invokes national pride. And so it makes sense that, you know, Australia would have their own sport can sort of like center around that, and for it to be so ingrained in the culture, I think makes a ton of sense.
I think it draws away from other sports as well. There's a lot of really good, talented, you know, 16 to 18 year olds that have to pick between basketball as well as cricket. There's many, many cricketers that swap to AFL. I think the biggest well-known case for AFL is the Collingwood captain at the moment and my favorite player and has been for the last 15 or so years, Scott Pendlebury, he actually won the scholarship into the, basically, we'll call it the basketball academy in Australia, where they only pick like a handful of people. He got the spot above Paddy Mills, who is, NBA player Paddy Mills. And he turned it down so that he could play AFL instead of basketball. So, right. Paddy Mills has had a great career in the NBA, and Scott Pendlebury has had an exceptional, one of the best careers in the AFL. So he could have been, a world champion basketball player, which, could lead to Australia being better at basketball. And instead, we've got a bunch of these, very, very talented guys that play AFL instead of, branching out to soccer and, I guess, sports that are more highlighted on the world stage.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a similar thing happening in Canada at the moment, where like Canada has a very good young basketball team, not like world elite, but better than it used to be. And that's just because Vince Carter, basically, like the Toronto Raptors was very good around the time that like kids who were watching him as a kid, they had this decision point of like, okay, if I'm going to be an athlete, what am I going to play? And because of the success of this, like, a guy on a Canadian team, they chose to do basketball. And I think we'll see the same thing. The Raptors just won a championship a few years. I think it will be an inflection point where a lot of young kids right now will think about like, yeah, okay, if I'm going to be an athlete, what am I going to play? And it would make sense. So yeah, there's this like huge sport, Australian rules football, that, the athletes are going to gravitate to and have a career. Do the athletes in the Australian rules football, do they have like a career? Like I this is a very minor example, like the Canadian Football League, typically any league that's like Canadian only. And we do have a very similar population, Canada just being a bit larger than Australia. Most of our athletes, if they're going to, do something like play in a Canadian league, typically it's not their only job. But is Australian rules football big enough that these guys, this is just what they do? They play Australian rules football?
It's a professional sport. So the top tier, I think the average player earns, I think it's meant to be $215 or $250, I can't remember, $1,000, which is, let's say $170,000-$180,000 US. So it's definitely a well-paying sport. And some of the top tier players earn over $1 million. So it's very competitive salary-wise.
Right. I mean, now I want to go down this whole line, but we'll get there. Maybe eventually, like now mentioned, like free agency, how much people are switching teams.
We can do it.
Well, let's do it.
Explain it if you want.
Let's do it. Is there big like free agency? Like, is there like, and because there's, I imagine like there's, it feels, like people have passion for their team. Is there been like big moment where people are like switch to a rival team? Feels like it'd be more contentious in Australia, maybe. But
yeah, there's been. So we should say first, there's a salary cap. Okay. So it's not unlimited spending.
Yes.
That will change, based on inflation every year. I think at the moment it's about 13 million Australian dollars. Every team has to have, I think it's a minimum of 40 players on your primary list. And then you have a secondary list, which can have, I think, between 4 and 6. And typically it's called a rookie list. It's a base rate pay, and they're not the players that you think they're going to be. They're not the just drafted players. They're typically alternative pathways into the AFL. So there's some special rules that you can get in from state level leagues, as well as if one of your parents is not from Australia as well. You can get a special pathway into the AFL. So yeah, there's a rule that got introduced. It must've been about 8 or so years now, where there was free agencies. There weren't free agencies before. You had to be actively traded at the end of every year. Okay. Now we have free agents and restricted free agents. Restricted free agents mean that you've been at the club past a certain period of time. I think it's like 5 or 6 years now. And another club can make you an offer, but your club is able to match the offer and force you to stay with them. Which
is a similar thing. I believe both basketball and hockey have that in North America.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And then there's just total free agency where, if you want to go, you can just go, and to, the highest bidder, which has definitely happened quite a lot in the last couple of years. There's still, I think it's new enough that the teams are playing fairly nice with each other. There have been some, I guess, medium, somewhat big size free agents, but not like massive free agents that have just walked. Typically when a player that is an enormous, AFL player gets traded to another club, has the capabilities of just walking there as a free agent, they'll actually work out a trade so that one of the clubs gets compensated for the player leaving, just because it was, as I said before, they're playing nice with each other so that in future trades, they don't, you know, screw each other around a little bit. They had to bring in a compensation rule because there was a expansion team. So in, I think, 2011 and 2012, we expanded from a 16-team competition to an 18-team competition. And one of the expansion teams became a breeding ground for young talent. And what would happen is after 5-6 years, all these, you know, good young players that grew up there who'd been basically taken, a lot of the time they get drafted for these expansion club, in particular in the Gold Coast, they drafted players from, you know, Victoria and South Australia, not the Gold Coast. And then 5-6 years later, they would just walk for free back to their Victorian club of choice.
Right.
It became just like a feeder team for other teams. So they introduced a compensation rule that, you know, if a player leaves, you'll get compensated with a draft pick, and it'll be depending on how much money that player is being offered, as well as how they've performed in the club's best and fairest awards in, you know, the last couple of years as well. So they tried to balance it out, but unfortunately hasn't quite worked probably the way they intended, and Gold Coast still remain quite as much of a feeder club for some of the other bigger teams.
That sounds very baseball-y as well. These, like, there's these smaller market teams who have had to figure out ways to not just, in baseball, you get a player for 6 years in the majors before they can leave and they hit free agency. But this is a similar thing where, if you're a small market team, there's teams that, you know, don't maybe want to pay the money. Often they're players will just leave after 6 years. They had to, like, you know, these teams have figured out ways to, they're trading their players often like 2-3 years in advance of them becoming a free agent to try and get that return on investment, which can be a little bit frustrating to be a fan of a team like, say, the Oakland Athletics, that is just like always trading players, even if they're superstars, before they're going to just walk for free, right? But what else is that team supposed to do? So
this is a funny point. I don't know if this happens in any other sport in the world, generally, because my knowledge isn't great for the other sports outside of Australia. But it's just happened in the last couple of years. Some players, so some, you know, 18-year-olds that get drafted actually say to the recruiters up front, they say, I don't want to leave my state, and if you draft me, I will leave. And then that club just doesn't pick those players, and they get, you know, basically taken by a Victorian club because they didn't want to leave their home state.
So I don't know. I know that baseball had, like, you know, the baseball draft is notorious for, especially because you can either draft people before they go to college or after they're in college. So a lot of these, like, college, pre-college base players will be like, oh, like, you know, if you drafted me, no, I think I'll turn it down. I'll just go back to college for like 2 years.
Oh, right.
So that happens a lot, but I think so. The teams must know when, like, there's a potential that they, the person will not sign with them. And you could always just draft them and you have the rights to them for that year, unless they, and then they turn down the offer, cause maybe they were just playing, you know, chicken. But, I don't think it's as likely that, like, then the team would just be like, okay, no, we won't draft. I'm sure it happens, but it's, I don't know if that's publicly, a lot of leverage for the players, which maybe isn't a bad thing, it sounds like. I don't know.
Sometimes good and bad. I think there was a case in 2008 or 9. Again, it involved Collingwood, but there was a player that wanted to be traded to Collingwood, and the club just was like, we're not trading with Collingwood. It's just not happening. So he didn't sign a contract with them, which is obviously risky. And he's like, I'm just going to walk into the draft and Collingwood will pick me up. And he actually went, I think it was about pick 30. So every club passed on him. Until he got to Collingwood, which was risky because obviously if he's drafted, he said out loud, you know, if another club drafts me, I'm going to retire. And all the clubs just were like, all right, I guess we're not drafting him. And then he just got to Collingwood and ended up just for pick 30, even though he was, you know, quite a successful player and we would have had to pay a lot more for him.
Was he a young player or he's an older player?
No, he was late 20s at the time.
How do you end up in the draft? So can players just opt out of the guy and then they're
draft? Anyone, so I could technically nominate for the draft if I wanted to.
Let's
I wouldn't
do
get
it.
Drafted. but yeah, you can, anyone can nominate for the draft. And there's a couple of different types of drafts, but there's one big national draft, and then there's like rookie drafts as well, which, you know, get on those rookie lists, which were the alternative pathways that I was talking about before. So I think that probably was the defining moment that brought in free agency because the clubs had too much power where they could just trade people who either wanted to be traded or didn't want to be traded or just hold them captive, I guess. And at the end of the day, it's the players' lives. And, you know, if their family, like their wife or someone got sick and they wanted to move back home, the clubs kind of could hold them against their will. And now there's a bit more flexibility there.
Yeah, so I think being a sports fan, it's, you talked like a lot about how your like your fandom into Australian rules football was about you finding a team. Collingwood, that, you know, my sport fandom comes from finding the Toronto Blue Jays, being a fan of them. It's so funny how we love teams, but as I get older, I'm such an advocate for obviously like players having, you know, players' rights and finding that balance between like being like, wow, they really got a lot of good, you know, the organization got a lot of good value out of that trade. You know, it's like it sounds bad, but it's just like constant push and pull. I think we're having as sports fans of like, we're fans of teams, which are essentially organizations, you know, but ultimately you want to support players, you know?
yeah. I mean, as long as it's not players from my club leaving, then I'll support them.
That's right. I think it would be fun. I know when we first were chatting about doing this podcast, I think you had just, it was very close around the time there was this like wild moment that you got to be a part of in Australian rules of football history, right? You had sent me a video of a celebration. I kind of wanted to segue into this. Obviously, I think a lot of fans will know, like, you know, big sports moments from North American history, but I'd be excited for you to tell me like a little bit about, like, tell me some of the fun sports moments in Australian rules football.
So the moment that you're talking about that just happens in round two, so it's now round six, so a month ago, was a player, Buddy Franklin. He kicked his 1,000th career goal. There's only been, he's the sixth player in history to do that. I should say, when I say in history, the AFL has been around since 1897, so it's been over 100 years. The last player to kick 1,000 goals was 26 years ago, but the way that the game is played nowadays, it's very unlikely that any player will kick 1,000 goals ever again. So it was a really big achievement for him to kick that 1,000 goal. And basically what happened was I was at the game. He needed to kick four goals against a really good opponent to be able to get there. And he was playing at the SCG, the Sydney Cricket Ground. And that's it. He plays for Sydney now. So it was just like this big moment where he kicked right before the third quarter siren. He kicked his third goal of the game. So he needed one more. And it just felt like the whole stadium ran downstairs to basically the ground floor level, just in preparation of him kicking that 1,000th goal. Cause we all knew what was going to happen. Everyone was going to flood the field. We were just going to run on the field. And that doesn't really happen in AFL unless there's like a massive milestone. I think the last time was actually he kicked 100 goals in the season in like 2006 or something. So everyone ran on the field.
It doesn't really happen anywhere. I think like not in North America. It'd be very rare to see people on the field.
It's like a really rare. Usually there's like a $5,000-$6,000 fine if you're caught running on the field. So you're not allowed to. But
They must have made so much money that night.
I mean, the AFL came out beforehand because they knew. So they said in advance, like, look, you're not meant to, but if it happens, it happens. And then the Sydney Cricket Ground was like, we will fine you if you go on the field. And everyone was just like, they can't fine all of us. Let's just see what happens. And he kicked that goal in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was electric waiting for that goal. We were all around. Everyone was smiling. Everyone was happy from both clubs as well. We were just like waiting for that big moment. He kicks the goal. Everyone just runs on the field. So we ran in, and it was during the game as well. Like, the game wasn't over. It was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they just tried to mob him, basically, and everyone was cheering and happy. There ended up being about 30,000 people on the field, which is, I've sent you the photos. It's basically you can't see the grass, right?
No, it's you can't. Yeah, it's full.
The whole field is full of people just on the field. It took about 10 to 15 minutes for everyone to get back off the field. And then they had to clean up the field because there was like trash and rubbish all over it.
Yeah.
And then play just restarted as if, you know, nothing had happened.
That's wild. Yeah. 1,000. So six player and you think, nobody will ever do it again. You just think.
I don't think anyone can do it again. The game's not high scoring enough anymore. Back in the olden days, people were kicking, you know, 10 goals a game. Now, if you kick like five, you're like, oh my God, you kicked five goals. That's amazing. So it's just way harder to kick that level of goals. But Buddy Franklin has been an exceptional player with a really long career. Like, he's 35, I think, or 36. Yeah. So long
he's
career,
the highest player. Paid player in the AFL. Perhaps that has changed. Yes. I think it was as of last year. Yes, highest paid player.
Over $1 million a year player. If he's the guy that basically, if you don't know anything about AFL in Australia and you've just managed to like grow up in, I guess, rugby territory, which is, I guess, only one or two states that's the case for, you still know who Buddy Franklin is. Like, he's just well known enough. And most of the time, a lot of the Sydney supporters, because that is more of a rugby territory than an AFL territory, that and Queensland, they're the only two, they will go to the games just to watch Buddy Franklin play, because it's such like a marvel and joy watching him play, the things that he can do. So he's just like this big marquee player, and he's very good. And having that experience of watching him kick 1,000 goals, even though it wasn't even my team, but it was one of the best sporting moments it probably was the best sporting moments that I've ever witnessed in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, I was going to ask you, we'll chat about more sports stories in a second. The one thing I was going to ask, you said earlier, like, playing once a week. Is that the format typically once a week game? Are they weekend games?
So we play, there's typically, I think the average schedule would be that there's 9 matches a weekend, but it starts on Friday night and will go until Sunday night. So there'll be like 1 on Friday night, 2 during the Saturday day, and then 2 on at Saturday night. And then there's, 2 in, well, then it's just like 1 after the other on the Sunday. So there has to be some sort of overlap, because the game's...
Sure.
Playtime is usually, with the breaks between quarters, it's about a 3-hour, experience. So there's just not enough time in the weekend to have no overlap whatsoever. But they do a pretty good job. Usually there's only 1 or 2 games that overlap. So you can watch all of them. And there's 23 rounds with 1 bye for every club. So just as like a rest period. So 22 games are played. So you'll note then it's an uneven fixture. Not every team will play each other at least once, and then you play another team which you don't know who that's going to be until the fixtures are released, usually like November the year before. You get to play another team one time, well, 5 teams an extra time, but those teams typically were randomized until the last couple of years, where people started complaining and were like, hey, how come I'm playing the hardest 5 teams twice and this other team is playing the 5 easiest teams twice? And they've tried to, it's evolving as the years go, but they're making a way where they put teams in buckets of like how good they are. So it's like the best 6 teams, the middle 6 teams, and the worst 6 teams.
Right.
And then if you finish higher on the ladder, you got to play like 3 people from the top bucket and 1 person from the middle bucket and 1 person from the bottom bucket. And they kind of, in reverse if you came last, and they kind of figure out the who you double up with using that method. So it's a bit fairer, but still not super fair.
Yeah, it sounds like there's tons of sports that have unfair scheduling systems, so it's just not new, but that seems wild. It's just like you just the 5 just random teams you just play, you never know who you're gonna play.
Yeah, it's always different. It's not like the same 5. I think there's some marquee matchups that almost always play a double up, so a lot of the time a team has a rival, and that rival matchup will be a guaranteed double up, and then it'll be like 4 randoms after that.
Who's Collingwood's rival?
Carlton. There's been a rivalry since like 1900 between those two clubs.
Who's got the edge at the moment? Like, who typically is so in recent
Collingwood,
times?
Collingwood has, won majority of the matches since, I guess, 2000 against them. But this particular season, Carlton have typically been like a cellar dweller bottom team, and this year is their, I guess, breakout season. Oh. They're looking at pushing for finals, but Collingwood's doing a bit better than everyone expected, so it's actually going to be a really close game this year. I'm not sure who's going to win. Hopefully us.
We're just data says we're recording a bit before the episode dropped, but the beginning of the season is March.
It starts in March, and it will typically end then in September.
Okay. So we're pretty early into the season. Seems like they've only played a few games, a handful of games so far. Are there a favorite to win? Maybe an underdog as well?
Yeah, the people that won the team, Melbourne Demons, won the grand final last season and are undefeated this year already. And they haven't looked like they've tried too hard, to be honest. So they're just cruising along and they're well on their way to, you know, glory again. But in the AFL, it's hard to go, you know, back to back. The motivation really drops off once you've already won your grand final. I think there's that big build up and then it makes it really difficult. I think in other sports, it might be a bit easier to go back to back. But there's only Collingwood has won four times in a row, and that was in the 1930s, like 1928, 29, 30, 31. So a long time ago. The most recent one, so Hawthorn won it three times in a row in the teens, like 20, I think it was 13, 14, 15, 16. Oh, I'm a year off, but yeah, around there. So
roughly.
It's typically like other teams have gone, you know, they win, then they lose, and then they come back and they win. And it's like harder to just win three in a row than it is to, you know, win and then lose and then come back with that extra fire in their belly.
When a team is like has success and then drops off, like in a lot of North American sports, like the reason for that would be like you build up this core of talent and then your talent ages a little bit. Maybe some of them leave for free agency, whatever. That tends to be the life cycle of a team. Some of the teams that have, you know, more money can like, you know, sustain themselves, can like retool a little bit better than other teams. But what would be the reason for, like, you know, having that major success and then dropping off a little bit?
I think a lot of it is purely motivation based, not actually talent based. It's, I mean, I know other sports play more fixtures, but it's a very grueling game. And when you're playing, especially like it's an outdoor game, it's a winter sport. So it plays across Australia's winter. So it's like very taxing on the body. And once you've thrown everything at it to win the grand final and you achieve it, to be able to then be motivated and be like, all right, let's do it again next year. The just motivation across the whole team really drops off. And the talent's very equally spread. I could say, when I say equally, I mean probably spread across, you know, the top 10 teams compared to the last couple. But most teams on any given day can beat another team, which makes it really hard to win the grand final. You have to be, you know, exceptional, and your motivation has to be high at the right time. I mean, there's been a team as recently as 2016, again, it might be a year off there, the Western Bulldogs, where they finished the regular season in seventh place, but they were hitting their peak form right at the end of the season, and they just won every game after that, and they ended up winning the grand final from seventh place.
That's awesome. That's great.
Exceptional.
Yeah. So the top eight teams make the playoffs. Is that typically, you know, typically your higher seeded teams will do a little bit better. I mean, that would make sense that we're the better performers.
Yeah. We have a final structure where it's actually, not like 1 versus 8, it ends up being 1 versus 4 and 2 versus 3, but they have a double chance. So, basically the winner of that goes into the game before the grand final, and the loser of those games plays the winner of 5 and 6, 5 and 8 and 6 and 7, so which are elimination matches. And then the winner of those games goes against the opposite winner, so you don't have the same team playing the same team in the first round as they do in the game before the grand final. And then the winner of that goes into the grand final.
Right. That's basketball has shuffled up their playoff format a bit, where the 7 and 8 spots are now this like playoff tournament between like 7, 8, 9, and 10. And it's a weird thing too, where it's like, yeah, you basically, like, you know, to get the higher seed you are, you have to lose twice basically. So it sounds similar to that. Any stories which, you know, would be of interest, either like historically, like, you know, great sporting Australian rules football moments, or storylines happening this season that you particularly think are of interest?
Maybe not this season, but something I find interesting in general is there's actually an American player in the AFL that most people don't know of, I would say, which is pretty interesting. His name's Mason Cox, and he actually plays for Collingwood, and he was the first ever American to play in the AFL. So he's been playing with Collingwood, it's got to be about 5 years or so, because he's pushing 30 years old now. And he came to the AFL as the tallest player ever in the AFL.
Oh,
211.4 centimeters, which I haven't done the conversion into feet. So you'll have to apologize there, but it's fine. Very tall, particularly for, I guess any person of that height in Australia will, I think, play basketball at that height. Yes. So he came over to play in the AFL, just obviously bigger than everybody. I wouldn't say it's been a success, really. He's been the most talented American, because there's been a couple of other Americans that have tried to play in the AFL, but they either get drafted and never play a game, or they just don't get drafted. He's had a relatively successful career in that he does play every now and then. He's more of a rotational player than a every week type of player. And he has had these big moments where in one of our knockout finals, he essentially kicked, I think it was 5 or 6 goals to beat the flag favorites at the time. And the whole crowd was chanting USA. And it was just like,
whoa,
this amazing experience of him just having like this amazing breakout game where he was catching everything and he was kicking goals from ridiculous angles. And we were like, oh my God, like what is happening right now? Just went into like beast mode and won us the game. That was probably his career highlight. I think his parents came down to watch him that game as well. So there was extra motivation. Pretty good story. And yeah, currently he's the only AFL, US AFL player.
I have to tell you, because I'm Canadian, I needed to Google other Canadian players, and Andrew McGrath drafted first overall in the 2016 draft, for Essendon. I might have to be an Essendon fan, although I see that they're very standings.
They're not having a good year. He's a good player. I didn't know. I guess it's some sort of Canadian heritage. I don't think he was born there grew up there. Definitely grew up in Australia, but
he did. Well,
He grew up in Australia, but he might have Canadian parents for sure.
Well, let's see. He's saying he's from Mississauga. He was born in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. So he might have been probably, maybe they moved very quickly.
There's plenty of AFL players that were born in other countries and then, moved when they were younger to Australia. And it's an easy way to fit in as a little kid, joining the local football team to make friends and all of that as well. So that's pretty common, but that is a fun fact. You taught me something.
Yeah, there we go. And he must have, when he was a little kid, there was like a pair of skates and a football, and he chose the football. Like, I guess we got to move to Australia. I was going to, just very quickly, I presume there's a women's league. Is there a women's league?
That's a good question. There wasn't a women's league until a couple of years ago. About 3 or 4 years ago, they introduced AFLW. It's not a professional league in that all of the women still have their jobs, which is upsetting, but look, it's new. So it takes, the men's league, I guess, had 100 years on them. So, the quality of play is improving every single year. This season was really great quality compared to the first season. And that just comes from one, more girls getting involved in the game growing up, because now there is a women's football to watch, as well as, when those players, get drafted, there's more talent than in the system. Because when they first started there really wasn't enough talent spread evenly across the teams, where you couldn't have, a good 20 people in each team playing a game. It just didn't work. So it's getting better and better every season. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes in the future, because this season was actually very good. I was very, very impressed with the quality.
I was just looking at the International Cup as well. I guess this is Australia does not compete in the International Cup, which would be, because I was wondering how Papua New Guinea had so many championships, but that's because Australia does not play, I believe.
There was a push into Asia. There used to be, before COVID times, one game a year that was held in China. Gold Coast versus Port Adelaide, two of our best teams. No, they didn't do it. Two of teams that are not that great.
You could bring a game to Canada, and I would be like, yeah, sure, we'll take those two teams. They sound great. You tell me they're the best teams? Yeah, sure.
That's basically what happened. And I think that was a global, they were trying to, I guess, expand into the Asian market. I believe that that's still probably on the cards, but it's just hard with COVID at the moment to do any sort of games outside of Australia. They played one in New Zealand a couple of years ago as well, which went very well. So you never know. I think there was, I don't know if it got canceled or not. I know there was planned for a game in LA in the preseason as like a warm-up game, but I think COVID may have gotten in the way of that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, it looks like the last International Cup as well was going to be in 2020. Looks like it's every 3 years or so, and it got postponed. So next one will be in 2024. But yeah, Papua New Guinea ran away with the championship 2 years in a row. Canada came seventh. So yeah, I mean, yeah, we're talking about perhaps folks who live in North America or maybe outside of Australia. Is there a way to watch Australian rules football? Are we just stuck with YouTube highlights?
No, there is a way to play and there is a way to watch. If you want to actually play the game, if you go to just www.usafl.com, there's basically a players and clubs section, and you can link to every team across the US. There's even Honolulu in there, so you can definitely get involved that way. Otherwise, in terms of streaming the game, there's a couple of ways. The TV rights, I think, fell away this year with the US, but in typical years, there's been a couple games on like Fox Sports 1, 2, and soccer at weird times, obviously, the time difference. But if you go to www.watchafl.com, there's like a paid component where you can, you know, pay to watch games. And some, if someone is like a passionate supporter about their club, so for example, Grace, you and Essendon,
yeah,
you can sign up to an international membership like through the club, which usually comes with a watch AFL code so that you can watch all of the Essendon games that way. But I think they're trying to work out a deal at the moment with Paramount Plus. I mean, that's it. That's what's happening over here in the media at the moment. And if they work out a deal with Paramount Plus, then I think potentially all the games are going to be available on Paramount Plus. So fingers crossed for that one, because that'd be a massive deal.
I think it's so funny to think about watching sports in this way. When I was talking with Puya about like English Premier Soccer as like Canadian, North America, people who live in like Canada and the US, when you like, you're not embedded in the same way that like, I'm sure like, you know, you can't open your Twitter without seeing some results or something happening in the world. But when you're like disconnected from it, like for me, the way I got into English soccer was to pick a team and then just watch that team. And for like, eventually it got to the point where it's like, yeah, okay, now my Twitter is starting to like feel, you know, Google is listening in to me. So it was listening in, but there's a long period where I could like DVR the game or, you know, go to DAZN later. And I'm sure people who wanted to just start watching some NFL, if you pick a team, you're probably not going to get spoiled on the results of the game if you like, just like PVR it or whatever. So it could be a good way to get started. It feels like a weird way to watch sports, but you know, that's how I started watching Liverpool soccer. So,
yeah. Oh, you've chosen a good club then as well.
I know. I got very lucky. I know. And it doesn't seem like I'll be as lucky with Essendon. Anything else before we wrap up?
No. There's a joke. Well, it's not a joke because it's true about Essendon going more than 1,500 days since they've last won a finals match. So you've really gone, you've gone with a tough choice there.
Yeah, but I got Andrew McGrath, my Canadian son.
That's true.
Yeah. Anything else before we wrap up? Yeah.
No, I think generally, if you're interested, I'd look, if you're really interested, if you search like AFL biggest hits or hardest hits,
you
definitely get a really good compilation of just things that you would be like, this is legal. Like you don't get a jail sentence for this.
No helmets, no nothing. There's no padding. Yeah.
Oh, there's literally, yeah, some of the stuff I watch there and I'm just like, I can't believe this is what I watch on a regular basis. I mean, you obviously want the players to be okay, so it's all good when they're fine.
Yeah.
But geez, sometimes it happens and you're like, oh my God. So yeah, otherwise I really enjoyed talking to you about this today. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for giving us the crash course in Aussie Rules football. You mentioned your podcast. Dr. Supercoach is a great name. I'm like, we were trying to name the Aussie podcast. There's not a lot of good sports podcast names out there. And so Dr. Supercoach is incredible. Supercoach, Dr. Supercoach, I don't know.
Dr. Supercoach. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, where can people find it? And where can people, you know, check out what you're up to online?
Oh, well, you can follow myself on Twitter, which is just at @pistol_DRSC. And yeah, that's my podcasting name, I guess. Typically don't go with my normal name? My normal name? My birth name? I don't know where I'm going with this. But yeah, Dr. Supercoach is on all streaming platforms, so pretty easy to find.
Amazing. Well, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, good. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, hopefully we can have a checkup one time and see how your Essendon Dons are going.
Yeah, it'd be fun to check. Yeah, maybe in the fall, near the end of the season, we'll check in before around playoffs or the finals.
The finals. Yeah. I think the Bombers might not make an appearance in the finals. I know. But we can touch in.
Okay, we'll touch in and we'll mourn Essendon's loss. But isn't the end of the season the best time? Because then you have hope about what happens next season, right? So, yeah.
Well, yeah. It really depends on the club. Some teams are more like, I guess, for the Premier League, an Arsenal equivalent where it's full of hope and then dreams are dashed and nothing's delivered year after year. So
not with my Essendon. All right.
Not with your Essendon. We'll see how they go.
Yes. All right. Thanks so much, Pete.
No problem. Thanks.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms
and conditions. 18+. Welcome back. I'm here with Lavina. Lavina, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for some hockey. As the start of us recording this today, it is underway. The series that is currently underway, that's like my least, the one that I care about the least. So I'm perfectly happy to be talking to you instead of watching that right now.
I have a vested interest in both of the games that are happening as we're speaking. One, because I very much would like the team to win. And the other one, I would very much like a team to lose. So
you tell. Share that with me.
Well, I would like the Maple Leafs to win and beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I would very much like the Boston Bruins to lose and never win a game ever again. They torment the Maple Leafs.
I feel like we're on the same page, sort of, but we'll get to that.
Okay, so this is going to be fun. I feel like typically I'm designing the game. I am coming up with the questions and then asking the guests to play. And this time I thought, I'm not going to be able to write a hockey quiz or a game, but it's going to stump you. You should make up the answers and I'll try to come up with the guesses. So Lavina, you have your top five NHL Stanley Cup playoff stories. Yes.
Yes. And there is, so technically one of them is a bonus story because it's about a team that did not make the playoffs, but we'll get to that. Okay.
I could guess. I mean, let's get started. I mean, as I said, yes. I'm very casual. So Lavina will be very kind that if I'm like starting to guess and very clearly way off the ice, you'll point me in the right direction. Maybe give me some hints. But I do think number one, and this is a little bit cheating because when I said, do you want to come talk the NHL playoffs? We hadn't really decided what format we were going to do yet. You said, yeah, we have to talk about the Las Vegas Golden Knights not making the playoffs.
Okay, yeah, I just remembered that. You know what? We'll still count it. We'll still count it. But we did actually, yeah, let's get this one out of the way first because technically it's not a non-playoff story. That's not shady, slightly, maybe. Uh-huh. But you know, yeah, in their first time in franchise history, I mean, there's not much franchise history to be had. There's a lot of that talk going on, franchise history, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, guys, you're new here. Let's take it easy.
Yes.
But honestly, them not making the playoffs and the way that it happened was just the slowest decline. You know, it's like they're like at the ledge, you know what I mean? And then it's just kind of like getting slowly pushed off by other teams. And one of those teams being the San Jose Sharks, might I add. You know, I just find it super interesting. I don't know if you were following, I mean, honestly, their downfall goes past the playoffs.
I couldn't avoid it on my Twitter feed that like Las Vegas was falling, that they were not going to make the collapse of their playoff run.
Right. And, you know, whether it's them being over the cap, you know, whether it's them, their mistreatment of Marc-Andre Fleury, people aren't super a fan of. I'm not as well. And you know, the whole situation where they tried to trade one of their players, whose name currently escapes me, but he ended up having a no trade clause, I believe. And he said, actually, I'm not going to Anaheim. I'm staying here. But now I kind of don't want to be here because you guys didn't want me. So
Dadanoff, where they tried to trade him and he's like, nope, I'm going to stay.
Yeah. Yes. And then after, you know, they had like their last home game and they wanted to award, you know, their, you know, most improved players, you know, those kinds of like end of the season awards. I believe they gave him one of the awards and they got completely torched online, which, you know, typically their Twitter account does. Yeah. But this one was a special kind of torch, in my opinion.
Has there been like it feels like, you know, I don't know. It felt like they had like goodwill. They're like, what a scrappy underdog story, like a team in Vegas. They make it to the finals the first year they were. No, what happened? The first year. Yeah. What a fun underdog story. Have they just like completely, they've just lost all their goodwill?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people say, well, you don't hate a bad team. It's like, okay, sure. But mm-hmm. I feel like in this case, it's not necessarily like, okay, well, people, you know, and we'll talk about them ahead. You know, the Colorado Avalanche are a very good team and are, you know, projected to even potentially win the entire thing. Yes. But I wouldn't call them super hated and they're a good team. So I don't understand the logic. Really, it's just a matter of, the way the franchise is being portrayed, and the way that, well, it's not even necessarily the way they're being portrayed, actually, it's just how they're run. Like a lot of people aren't a fan of it. And, you know, the Marc-Andre Fleury stuff, in my personal opinion, yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury really put them on and they yes. just kind of said, well, yeah, you're out of here basically. And he actually said that he didn't find out that he was I believe being traded to Chicago yeah. until he saw it on Twitter.
That's brutal. That's really bad. I feel like there is this you die the hero or live long enough to become the villain. I feel like that feels like already like Vegas. Like I mean, I think Vegas you're has always out. Been I'm cutting out.
Yeah. Okay, you're like robotic a bit.
Okay. Let me give it a second. I'm not recording backup, but that's okay. Maybe I'll start.
Should I leave and come back?
No. If it's me, it's me. So let me just start recording backup audio. Am I still robotic?
Oh, wait. Wait, talk again.
Am I still robotic?
You are. You're good now. You're good now.
Okay. I'm going to start recording backup and then we'll start back up.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit like the story, you know, you either die the hero or live long enough to become the villain. I mean, Vegas is a city that I think like, always been questionable whether you should put a sports team there because it's such a tourist city versus like a lot of these other cities that have teams. But I don't know, they have such rapid success. And then I think that's, you know, as soon as you have success in sports, I feel like it does not take long for people to turn on you. So.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I meant, you know, when I was, you know, like comparing them to the Avs and stuff. But there is for sure some people that are like, oh, yeah, screw the Avalanche kind of, you know, vibe. Sure. But it's not necessarily like, OK, well, it's just overall bad grace, you know, from the yeah. Twitter account persona to, you know, the Marc-Andre Fleury stuff to the, you know, general on ice antics. You know, as a San Jose Sharks fan, I can personally say I still think about that Joe Pavelski hit and the way that Joe Pavelski's head was hanging and yeah. bleeding in 2019. Not a great memory to have. And, you know, it's a bit ironic that great segue that the Sharks kind of put the dagger in their season. Mm-hmm. I guess they're not even necessarily their whole season as a whole, but like their playoff hopes, because they were coming into one of their last games of the season against the Sharks, projected 99% to win that game and lost in the shootout, which is the worst way, especially against a college kid who was just signed about a week prior.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Super brutal. But
are you a shootout fan? Are you a shootout fan? Just in general? I'm gonna segue a bit.
Great question. I think I mean, you know, if it's like the Olympics or something, I know in the Olympics doing the shootout for like championship gold medal games. Hate that. If it's a regular season thing, I'm okay with it.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Playoffs, we don't have them, so I feel like I'm okay with it. Then I'm kind of like thinking out loud, I'm good with it.
Okay, so that's fair. All right, so the Vegas Golden Knights not making the playoffs, their collapse is the bonus story.
That is, it's okay. Let's call it number five. Let's go down.
Okay. All right. Can I be very selfish? Can I say, you know, I feel like my, you know, interest is. Can the Maple Leafs, who had a rather historic season, team record for wins, Matthews has a great season, is like, you know, the Leafs potential cup run, is this an interesting story or just for me and all of Toronto?
No, I mean, well, I don't know if you're going to like the way I worded it, but I wrote, will the Leafs silence critics? Will they make it past the first round is the second note.
Yeah, this is the Toronto Maple Leaf playoff hockey is very, very stressful because, I mean, they're bad for a little while, but they've been good for a while. And it's just been like, yeah, they just can't win in the playoffs. And this is, you know, I was joking earlier that like, yeah, I'd rather Boston not win because like as much fun as it would be to feel like, okay, yeah, what a great team. Let them play Boston. No, Boston will just like beat the very good Toronto Maple Leafs team. Even if Boston, you know, Boston's fine. They're good. But like, yeah, if it feels like a year that Toronto could win and then you put them up against Boston, that feels like very, very bad news. And then, yeah, we end up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which feels risky as well. It feels like potentially that is not winnable. So I would love for them to silence critics and be able to you know, I would love to win the Stanley Cup, but, you know, win a playoff series would be pretty nice.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have, you know, anyone in this fight personally. I did last season, but I definitely don't this season. You know, Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau are no longer there. Yes. But, you know, I will say that as much as Leafs fans, except you, Grace,
yes,
and, you know, Jenny Autumn and all of our friends, yes, you guys don't bother me. But as a whole, Leafs fans, you know, I mean, would you agree that they kind of give themselves a bad rep?
Sure.
Would you agree with me?
Sure. Okay. But it's just like 60 years of frustration, you know, I mean, I've been talking a lot about generational, you know, stuff, over on Post Show Recaps a lot, but yeah, it's just like, none of us have seen it happen. None of us have seen, and it's like, you know, this like historic franchise that like, it's just so frustrating. And I think sometimes that's like, you know, expressed in a poor way, you know?
Yeah. I would agree. You know, every fan base has their bad seeds, and especially, you know, it's Toronto. It's they call it the capital of hockey, you know, all that kind of thing. So I understand that there's going to be even more bad seeds because of just the sheer amount of people that care so much about the team. But I do think that it is a little bit funny. Like, I'm stuck between like a rock and a hard place, I guess. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but I feel like on one end, I'm like, okay, it'd be kind of funny if they once again get eliminated in the first round. And then the other half of me is like, you know what, let's get something new going on. It's like, you know, I don't want to give a hint into my next topic, but it is getting a little bit old seeing the same teams, particularly in the Eastern Conference, advancing. So I'm like, you know what, you know, like let's play around with it. Let's see what the Leafs can potentially do. Maybe they can go on a big run. You know, I think that Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews seem like good dudes and they're excellent players.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see star players do well.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, if Tampa wasn't up against Toronto and like Toronto got eliminated by some other team, like, yeah, like a three-peat is interesting, you know, that's like, you know, I think like I'm always, you know, as like a history major, I think it's very cool to think that like, you know, you could like look back at these three and be like, yeah, it was the Tampa Bay dynasty. But like, yeah, if you're up against Toronto in the first round, no, I would not like to see three-peat anymore. But yeah, I mean, back-to-back titles, they could win a third one. I don't think they're quite as strong as the teams, obviously, that they've had the last 2 years. So even if they manage to beat Toronto, I don't think they can pull out another Stanley Cup win. But prove me wrong. John would be happy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I believe I got a Twitter message or a Twitter mention earlier from that I have to reply to. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I think that that series for me personally is just kind of like, hey, whatever happens, happens. Sorry, Grace, it'd be funny if they That's lose. Fine. But if they don't, okay, cool. You know, Tampa's gone and, you know, yay parody, I guess.
Hey, I'm looking at the results at the end of the second period. Looks like it could be okay.
I'm like a spoiler alert from the past, guys. From the past, 4-0.
4-0. So, you know, okay. But this is classic Toronto Maple Leafs of like, they could like lose this game. And like that would be unsurprising, for their Toronto Maple Leafs. All right. Let me see. The Florida Panthers have not won a playoff series in a long time. Do you have the Florida Panthers as an interesting story in the playoffs?
I do, but this is my extremely biased topic.
Yes, okay, I see. Yes.
Can you fill in the blank?
Joe, Jumbo Joe. Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wrote down, I was actually my number one topic. Shocker. Joe Thornton, near 25 year career. He has not won a Stanley Cup, as we famously know. Or maybe not, I don't know, or at least in my life. You know, I don't have anyone in the playoffs again for the third year in a row. And, you know, last season I was with you, Grace. I was Team Maple Leafs and I was hoping and praying, against my will that they could pull it out and win. But they didn't. And I'm like, you know what? Let's have it be this year. Because if I'm being completely honest with you, I do feel like this is the last chance for him because he's not even playing that often. He said it himself when he returned to San Jose, maybe about a month ago in March, that he had an interview and he said, you know, it's great. It's fun. I get to hang out with the guys. I'm not playing every game. So he is aware that the body is slowing down, even though up here he's not. He doesn't want to. Yeah. You know, I just really hope he gets it. And there are some other people, you know, like Claude Giroux is a new Florida Panther as well. And he hasn't won a Stanley Cup. And, you know, of course, there's Joe Pavelski of the Dallas Stars, who is also getting up there, which makes me feel old, by the way.
Yeah, this is the day when we're starting to see, like, people we knew, like, oh, they're retiring.
Had Dustin Brown and Ryan Getzlaff retire, and I think that's crazy. My childhood is over.
Yeah. Boy, if like the Leafs can make it out of the first round and the Panthers make it out of the first round, I feel like this is sacrilege to say that, like, you know, if the Panthers ended up beating the Leafs, you know, so that Jumbo Joe could go on and win a Stanley Cup. Yeah. All right. A sacrifice was made. I only would prefer the Toronto Maple Leafs to win. But Joe Thornton, it'd be great to see him hold the Stanley Cup. It's like, I feel like there's no sport. Maybe, like, I guess you get a little bit of this with the Super Bowl trophy, but I feel like getting the players skating on the ice around with the Stanley Cup is just it's so iconic. Joe should get to do it.
Yeah. And I do think that he should be first to touch the puck
That'd be cool.
Touch the trophy because, you know, I don't, and that's the thing. Like, I'm a Western Conference fan. I don't know a crazy amount about the Eastern Conference. And if, like, vice versa, Eastern Conference fans could say the same about us.
Yes.
So I don't like, you know, like, Ekblad, I guess. I don't know if he's injured or not right now. Like, you know, I understand that they have their star players that were there before Joe got there. But, you know, I feel like whoever the captain is, I don't even know who the captain is, would end up passing it to Joe first or signal like, hey, he deserves to get it first. And I really hope that he does, because, again, I do think that, you know, seeing, like I mentioned like a second ago, Dustin Brown and Ryan Getzlaff, who were, you know, the like one of the main pillars of the other two California hockey teams retiring. It's a huge wake up call because Joe is 43 years old. He's turning 44 in July.
Wow.
Has to.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, it would mean the Leafs would lose, but yeah. I mean, you couldn't have stayed with the Leafs. Come on. We could have had the best of both worlds. That's okay. All right. Then we've been on the Eastern Conference, and then let's jump to the Western Conference. I feel like Detroit similarly to the Leafs, who had such a good season, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on the Colorado Avalanche. They've like had, you know, you know, made it to the second round each past three seasons, but have not really won much. And then, yeah, have this, like, they're the best team in the West. I feel like that has to be on there.
Yeah, and it is. What I wrote down was, can anyone, not even just Western, can anyone beat the Avs? And also, what's up with the Western Conference? Because a lot of people were saying, what are these random scattered about teams that made the playoffs for the Western Conference? Like, who is Calgary? Is Calgary even any, like, my friend this morning, I was talking to her and she was like, is Calgary good? And I'm like, well, they made the playoffs, even though they're playing in a Pacific Division, which is, you know, they're accompanied by all these teams in a rebuild, speaking from experience. So it's just a strange, you know,
if we were thing. I feel like this is on my Twitter a lot. I think people so desperately like want the Calgary Edmonton playoff series. I think that could be like super fun if both of them made it out, managed to beat the Stars and the Kings. But it feels like Colorado. I mean, I've seen a lot of playoff brackets that have Colorado either in the finals or winning the whole thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know too much about betting odds or anything, but the betting odds at the top, I was like, oh yeah, the Florida Panthers will for sure be at the top. They're actually second. It's Colorado for most all of these, like Vegas odds or whatever they mean. Well, you could tell me if you know. I don't.
I don't really. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think that, you know, I find them to be a very, is this even a word? A rootable team. I think they're a rootable team.
Yes.
Even though I am, again, a Western Conference fan, and the Sharks have faced Colorado, even as recently as 2019, which was like a chaotic playoffs as a fan for me, I could still see myself rooting for them if Florida and the Joe in Florida, you know, somehow weren't there. Also, just because, again, like I said, what's up with the Western Conference? You know, Calgary, St. Louis. I forgot about St. Louis.
Yes, flat out. In there.
Minnesota, I feel, and listen, I'm sorry if there's any Wild fans listening, but they're just always there, and they're just there. They're just there, and they don't. They can, you know, they can get out of the, actually, I think they're one of the teams that also are very much plagued in the first round, like the Leafs. But even if they do get out, just kind of like, okay, yeah, great. You know, they're not going to go all the way. And I get it. I'm a Sharks fan. You don't have to tell me. I know.
So. Yeah, I remember I grew up, again, like we watched a lot of hockey. I remember like the Patrick Roy era, the Peter Forsberg era. Like, yeah, that's when they were good. And I feel like they've had such a, they have not won in so long that I feel like they've like rebuilt goodwill when you're talking about them being a rootable team that like, yeah, nobody's like, oh yeah, the Avalanche always winning, you know, and they're kind of like in a weird spot of the country in the States. So like, yeah, I feel like they're very easy. I feel like, they also have very nice jerseys. I feel like is another reason that people I think sometimes people picking, they're like, okay, if my team doesn't win, what other team will I pick? I feel like the Avalanche are a very like easy team to like, be like, okay, yeah, I would root for them when my team is out. So. Yeah.
And a lot of people that are like strictly casual hockey fans will pick teams based off of that. Like, oh yeah, I love their jerseys. Like, you know, I'm a big NBA fan as well. I'm a Warriors fan. And if I had to pick another team, I'm like, oh my God, I love the Sixers jersey. So if I find myself like, okay,
well, we don't have to give Philly. The Sixers any 76 any praise right now. I think as much to Isaiah as chagrin, we don't have to talk about the 76ers.
He's going to clip this off. I know he is.
Yeah.
And keep and store it for safekeeping. I know he is. I think besides that, though, you know, they have like Landeskog. A lot of people are kind of iffy about Nazem Kadri, but you know, I will always root for, you know, Middle Eastern representation in the NHL. That's super, you know, a primarily white league. Yes. And I just think that they could go all the way. But the thing is, though, I feel like when people choose a team so heavily, they don't. And that's why I'm like, okay, is it the Panthers year? They're being chosen second. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. the upset. Yeah. I love Kadri, by the way. I was very sad when he was traded away from the Leafs, but glad he's been very good in Colorado. So
good dude.
I don't know. Last one? One more?
You're doing good.
I know. I'm doing better than I thought. It feels like this could be, I mean, the Penguins have broken up a little bit, but it feels like maybe there's some potential for the Penguins. Although that would mean that you went mostly Eastern Division. I feel like there has to be one more story in the West. I don't know. Is it like you talked about, like, is Calgary good? Maybe is it the Stars? Do you think the Stars can make a run? Is that your story? I don't know.
It's not my story, but I will say that the last one is pretty broad. It's not necessarily about one conference.
Ooh. I don't know that. I think you have to tell me.
Okay.
I'll give up the last point. Yeah.
To be fair, you kind of touched on it in like the second one, I think. It's mostly just about parity because and I think we pretty much talked a lot about that in the last one as well when I said what's up with the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people would compare the NBA, and the NBA is big on, you know, a super team. You know, I've heard it to death, obviously. And they're always saying, you know, NHL is really good with parity. But in the last 3 years, we're seeing, you know, the Lightning could three-peat, you know, and we've seen this in league history. You know, the New York Islanders had their dynasty. Obviously, Montreal Canadiens, while the worst team in the league right now, are famously 24 Cubs. We get it, guys.
Well, they were in the finals last year, right? Am I remembering this correctly?
Somehow that's, you know what? That's a story in and of itself, because I was just saying that this morning. How the heck do you go from the cup final to the worst team in the league?
That is big. That is wild. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Carey Price has been hurt or whatever it is, but it's not great.
Yeah. So just kind of like anybody has a shot. Is that the idea you think? Like you were saying, like, yeah, you kind of think like the Panthers can make a run. I mean, those are the, you know, in the Hamlets are like top seeds in their division. But yeah, it feels like anybody could win.
Yeah, because anything can happen, you know, whether it's a 5-minute major like penalty call and, you know, those 4 goals, or if it's just like, you know, someone goes down, someone gets hurt, unfortunately, and it's like a big impact player, could be like Landeskog, could, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. In the NHL, and granted, that's the same thing for the NBA, but I feel like the teams that show up at the end of the season in the postseason are typically the same beasts, I guess.
Right.
But the NHL is like, look at the Western Conference. I get it that people are saying they're much weaker, but who's to say the LA Kings, who snuck in literally like 4 days ago, can't beat, I believe they're playing Minnesota, or is it Calgary? I'm not sure which of those, but
sorry, who?
Los Angeles.
The Kings are playing the Oilers, yeah.
Oh, the Oilers. Okay.
Yeah.
I mixed them up in my brain.
Yeah. And then the Predators playing the Avalanche. Playoff hockey is so fun. This is, I think, the highest scoring season per game in 25 seasons. So, could be very fun. Playoffs here, high scoring, if that's what you think is fun, I guess I should say. Some people maybe like the low scoring game. I mean, based on the two games that are on right now, high scoring maybe is the pattern that we're going to see in the playoffs. So
That could definitely translate to the playoffs. That's for sure. I mean, we're seeing 4 goals in each of these games right now. The Hurricanes are outscoring the Bruins.
We love
that.
I
do agree with that, by the way. That's what I mentioned at the beginning. I'm not a big Bruins fan, not loving their fans, kind of similarly to the Leafs. To me, it's like Bruins fans are just kind of, how do I say this nicely? They're not very nice. Let's say that. While I think Leafs fans are not necessarily mean or toxic, they're just kind of so, they're just so, they're
in
so Leafs obsessed culture, with their teams.
Yeah.
They're so obsessed with their own team that they can't see the flaw in how they're acting or their team is acting. So I think that that's a huge difference between them. So,
yeah. Okay. Are you officially putting your winner pick on the Florida Panthers? Are you going to stamp it, or do you,
I mean, my, See, I hate making predictions because I have this thing. I'm very superstitious for, you know, my own team hasn't made the playoffs for 3 years. So I've kind of translated that superstition onto the back of Joe Thornton or Patrick Marleau. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I can't pick who I actually think is going to win, but who I want to win. Yes, it's the Florida Panthers.
Okay. Well, who I want to win and who I think will win is the Toronto Maple Leafs. So,
both. Let's
see. I'm sure people, continue to be annoyed with me that I'm so Toronto and specifically Canadian specific on this, but and then if another Canadian team wants to win, I feel like that's always fun too. The worst outcome, and I think I've said this on a podcast before, the Maple Leafs cannot make the finals and lose. Lavina, Canada has a bunch of the top 10, a bunch of the riots in the top 10 riots in Canada are all hockey related. Vancouver once made the Stanley Cup finals and lost. And it was, did they win?
2010. Nope. They lost to the Bruins.
The Bruins. We all hate the every Canadian. There's so many riots that are associated with hockey. So I just think, like, I don't want to be in the city of Toronto if Toronto makes the finals and loses. There's too much hope. So
you're so right. I didn't even think of it that way, but it would be,
or at least get swept or something. Like, it can't go to game seven. It will, like, the city, I think, will, like, not do well.
I'm pretty sure that 2010 Stanley Cup final did go to a game seven.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah.
They were setting stuff on fire. They were setting cop cars on fire. People were running for their lives. They're like, oh, what happened, guys? Like, some political unrest. They lost the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. 140 people were injured in that riot. Come on, Vancouver. All right, Lavina, very fun. You're not going to pick a winner pick. We'll just say who you really desperately want to win. That's okay. Thanks for coming on. This was fun.
Thank you for having me. I love coming on here.
And what are you up to, and where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at LPABS with two S's. I'll be tweeting about hockey, doing my normal insane hockey stuff on Twitter.
Amazing. All right. Thanks for joining us, Lavina.
Thank you.
All right. That was my interview with Peter. That was the segment Game On with Lavina. Thanks so much for joining us this week. In 2 weeks' time, I will be back, and I'm very excited about what we have on tap for 2 weeks' time. Of course, schedule always, permitted to change scheduling conflicts and things like that. But in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to be joined by my friend Aiden, who lives in Ireland, and we're going to chat about a sport called hurling, a sport that I do not know very much about at all. I had not heard about it until I chatted with Aiden about the sport, so I'm excited to get a deep dive into the world of hurling. After that, after my interview with Aiden and about hurling, how many times can I say hurling in a podcast? I'll be joined by the wonderful Mike Bloom to chat with Mike to try and find Mike an MLB team. We will look at some of the stories of this season, of the current MLB season, and we're going to try and find him a team. I promise you, I will not try to force the Toronto Blue Jays on Mike Bloom. But the Bloom Jays does have a good right to it as I'm speaking. But we'll play a little quiz, almost like a BuzzFeed type quiz, and we'll try and figure out what team Mike Bloom should be a fan of. If you have pitches that you want to make, please feel free to send me a DM. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace, or you can send me an email, grace@postshowrecaps.com, and I would be happy to pitch them to Mike Bloom as we're playing. But we'll do a little quiz in our Game On segment. We'll find a Mike Bloom and MLB team. Aiden will be chatting about hurling. If you enjoy listening to me, there are a lot of podcasts where you could keep listening to me. I do a lot of work over on Post Show Recaps, currently covering, Winning Time, the Lakers show on HBO. I just finished coverage of Russian Doll, which dropped all on Netflix, and all the podcasts are in your feed to listen to once you've watched that show. Heartstopper with Matt Scott, a fun little LGBTQ rom-com, and a weekly coverage of Shining Girls has happened. Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz and Melissa Woodward and I are chatting through the new Apple TV show Shining Girls. And then I have weekly movie coverage with my friend Ariel, who's been on this podcast before, and it's an absolute treat. So that's what I've got going on. If you're interested in any of that, follow me on Twitter at Hi From Grace to check out when a new episode of any of those podcasts drops. Until next week, the podcast is over.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.